going down, ladies and gentlemen? Good morning. Welcome to Black Seinfeld. This is a show about absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I go by the name of Psyche to all you fellas and Trinidaddy to all you ladies out there.
I go by Bastionissa.
And we just want to thank you all once again for tuning into this intellectually ignorant show about nothing.
Yes, and please continue supporting us on our social medias on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Black Seinfeld NY. And if you'd like to email us, please email us at blackseinfeldny@gmail.com.
Yes, and wait, did you mention Spotify and all that?
Oh.
See? That's okay.
We're also on platforms such as Spotify and Apple.
Apple Podcasts. Shouts out.
But we're pretty
Apple.
Much on any podcast app. Just type in Black Seinfeld and you'll see us pop up.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're in any app. I'm using an Android phone right now. And yeah.
I think we all should be using.
I'm using Podcast Addict and it just worked on that.
I think we should all be switching over to Androids now because Apple sucks.
Okay. What's wrong, Gio? Did you see the new update?
Man, I mean, I saw the conference.
Yes. You saw the whole thing?
I saw some of it. I didn't want to see the whole thing.
Okay.
I just read about the different key points, about the latest updates, about the whole Memojis, which is so innovative, by the way.
I feel like Memojis will be perfect in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something is kind of too late.
I've heard Memojis is already a thing, though.
No, for who? Not for the youth.
No, not for the youth, but I heard it's been done already.
It's been done already.
Yeah. It's not, see, the problem with Apple is the fact that it's nothing innovative anymore. It's just copying off of things that already exist. I think the new feature of group FaceTime, it's cool, but I mean, we already had Skype. And before that, we had Uvu. But yeah. Now it's just on your phone.
But it's on your phone, and it's easier to do when you're in a circle because I know that the voice call for iPhones are like much more popular compared. FaceTime is much more popular than any other company right now.
It is.
So I could only assume that's like everybody will kind of use that as the main source. Like, oh, if I could use FaceTime, because you know everybody has an Apple product. Either you don't have the phone, or you do have the MacBook or
right.
The iPad. You could sign in using the iCloud account or your Gmail or any account, Google account.
Right.
And from there, you could just log in and just join a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy. They set up to 32 people, which could be
How is that going to work, though?
I don't know. It's like a conference call.
Like the Google conference. So whoever's talking will be the main person speaking.
Exactly.
But what happens when people speak at the same time?
Well, then you have to find a structure for it. You don't necessarily have to throw all 32 in. Sometimes it could be just 5 people talking but 32 people listening because
right.
They might not even show all their faces.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
True.
So that's the way I kind of look at it.
So do you think the new way to have a conference would be on this multi-group?
Yeah, depending on how clear it is,
right,
and how consistent it is, because it's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just did this for before the end of the second quarter in order to tell the investors that, hey, we are coming out with new and better things. And it's not even coming out until probably the later half of this year.
You know, the big updates always happen around fall time anyways. It's like October, November.
That's why I never liked Apple when they did these updates because it's like, oh, you could join the beta. You know, if you're a developer, of course, that'd be $100 a year. But I'm not a developer, so I'm not getting that beta. I don't have an iPhone. I have the OnePlus 6, as we said previous episode. But I am interested in the new Mac iOS. And for this one, they have like more cluster features, which is perfect for me because I do have a desktop filled with different things from pictures to audio to like just crafty emails or anything that just kind of save from the internet, and it kind of helps you with the clutter and Finder, because Finder is like, I have a big problem with Finder.
Same.
So they said they're fixing it, which is good. This is something that's very important. And also I have like 3 hard drives, external hard drives, so every hard drive is something different, and I need Finder to kind of go through all of those hard drives too.
Does this make you want to keep your Mac desktop, or do you still want to switch over to a Windows?
I'm more focused on later half of the year when they're going to, you know, talk about the MacBook again. Hopefully they've done enough market research to kind of cater towards me as the audience that I still want the USB. You know, maybe I do want the CD drive. I know we all want lighter stuff, but I, at the same time, I do need a adapter. Like, C drive adapter is cool, but you should also give me a USB. You know, maybe an SD card too. I use SD cards though.
SD cards and USB slots have become, in my opinion, the new CD drive.
Yeah,
we just need it now because we just have to insert so much content within these Macs, such as Black Seinfeld episodes for us to edit, and SD cards as well for all the artists that use cameras. You know what I mean? To edit their shots on Photoshop and to edit all the content that they've shot for Adobe Premiere Pro or Logic.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that. I think they should know that.
But it's all about making money at the end of the day. That's why Tim Cook is very interesting.
Because Tim Cook, to me, sorry to cut you off, he's not an innovator as Steve Jobs was. He's just a corporate guy.
Yeah, he was always focused on supply chain. And if you want to make a lot of money, you need to focus on the supply and demand, and the part is the supply part. And if you're supplying too much, you're going to lose money because you're not selling it fast enough. Then you have leftover inventory. Like the iPhone X. Apparently, it's not selling well at all.
It's not.
Even though I see it everywhere, but we're in New York, so that doesn't count as the world.
That's true, but I don't see... I know you might have seen it everywhere, but honestly, I still see people sticking with like 8s. I still see 7s. I have a 6S.
Yeah.
I still see 6S.
6S is the last. That's my last favorite one.
Yeah, because, I mean, I still have a headphone jack.
Yeah.
And I don't need an attachment for it.
Well, the way Tim Cook was kind of working on is just inventory, right? Mm-hmm. Just perfecting an item and just selling it and never losing revenue, just holding something. So we just have to see where Apple goes from there, especially in the hardware territory, because like you said, iPhone X isn't selling well. They might just reinvent the phone again.
They might. They will.
Because the notches is a huge thing. Like, my phone has a notch on it, right? But I don't use it as much. I do see it, but it's not really there. So I do understand why people say it's easy to get used to. I got used to it after the first day. So I give Apple the props for that. Mm-hmm. I know they removed the headphone jack, but it's still not necessary to do that yet because Bluetooth isn't even good like that. Because I'm starting to have Bluetooth problems with my phone.
See?
So
I'm starting to have it as well when it comes to my wireless headphones too. It's because there's always some sort of dip in the audio for some strange reason, and I don't know why. I don't know, maybe it's... has to do something with the connectivity.
The frequency and everything around you also, because we live in the Wi-Fi age.
Right.
So everything, especially in your house, just all this wireless transmission, of course the Bluetooth won't be as perfect as it is.
I think there can be a downfall within Apple if they still stick with the if it ain't broke, don't fix it sort of method. Meaning, if they just come out year after year just with a couple of tweaks, it's going to create dips in sales for iPhone, in my opinion. Because you're just getting the same thing over and over again.
I don't know how to answer that because Apple has to come out with a new product every year. Like, they have to no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, every other quarter there needs to be a rumor of a sense like, oh, the iPhone X 1 or something is coming out. No, the next iPhone 11 might be different. No notches in this one. You know, we do need a sense of like Apple is building something new. Just spending all this money on research and development. So we could only assume like they have to come up with something interesting soon.
Apple to me hasn't been innovative since the 4.
I would say 6.
6?
Yeah. The 5 was great.
Yeah.
And the 6 was good. But like that was, like I said before, that was my last phone. Mm-hmm. That was the last phone before I switched to Android. And like the 7, the 8, and the X hasn't been anything different from the 6.
Yeah, it's just been bigger. I mean, yeah, just a bigger phone, lighter.
Better camera, I give it that.
Yeah, better camera.
The camera's amazing.
And yeah, that's about it. But your camera's pretty good too.
Yeah, but compared to my friend's iPhone X, we took certain pictures. It's because I know how to take pictures. Mm-hmm. So, but we're talking about the everyday people. Now, they don't know how to take pictures sometimes. The camera has to do the work for them.
Of course.
So, yeah, my pictures will come out nice, but we need it for the user-friendly people.
True. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, last week was an interesting week because two important things happened. One, Bastion turned 24. He's living his Kobe year.
Yes.
And the day after his birthday, my man's graduating.
Yeah.
So white people be afraid. All right. We have another black man with a college degree. And I went to his graduation at my alma mater. It's weird saying that now.
Do you pay the school?
No.
Then you're not really.
But I am making them proud, though.
Yeah, I guess.
My name does keep coming up all the time now.
You'll be invited in the 10th year, 10-year anniversary of you. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like, you graduated in 2017.
Right.
So in 2027, you'll be there doing a speech.
Man, I was invited 4 months after I graduated. I was invited back there to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, see, like, you're doing well. You kind of have to show off. Like,
You're doing well.
I'm doing okay.
Nah, bro. Think about it. You're 24. You got a degree in marketing, mind you. So all you marketers out there, if you listen to this, hire Bastion, all right? Because he can boost up your sales.
I have some ideas. But, yeah, I just look more into that. More into free internships, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to pay me anything besides a MetroCard, but I'll take it.
How do you feel about graduating now?
I feel good. It's a different type of... All right, let me tell everybody that I finished school in December, got the degree and everything, but I decided to walk in June. But it did leave two different feelings.
What was that?
The first feeling, when I finished in December, I felt like all the stress was gone. I felt 20 pounds lighter in my head. You know, I found a job and I was just working, you know, chilling the entire time. Now, after I walked, something else happened. I feel this sense of responsibility of, like, building myself again. Like, looking for new things to do. Like, I really need to focus and find something with this degree. You know, I do like marketing. I do like editing. I do like a lot of things focused in the media and everything. We're doing radio.
Right.
So I had to kind of reorganize my life. And said, all right, this is what I need to do. And this is what I need to finish by a certain due date. So I do have, like, this whole list of things to do by the end of the summer. And, like, coming September, I have a whole new list of things to do after that.
So walking helped you realize, like, yo, like, this chapter of my life is really over.
Yeah.
And it's the start of, like, okay, I have to start building.
Yeah. It's funny because who spoke at the commencement?
I remember Chuck Schumer did.
Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
And... he didn't give me much, but
Chuck Schumer was real short to the point of mine.
Short to the point.
Apparently, he just ripped up his speech.
Apparently, he did it. Oh, for yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, he ripped your speech.
Yeah.
Apparently, he does everybody's graduation in New York.
Yeah, he does, and he says the same speech, by the way.
Same nonsense.
Because I thought we were the only school where he ripped up his speech, but come to find out, all 2017 summertime, he was ripping up his speeches in every other school.
Got to change it up for the people, you know? I can't give them the same album three times in a row, Nicki Minaj. But anyways.
Yo!
Anyways. I did, my pops played me Chadwick Boseman, commencement speech he did for his school.
Yeah.
And
HU.
HU. And Howard. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to that. It's like 35 minutes long. And I kind of used what he said. And I thought that was very, I know, relate to this.
Do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he said a lot of different things. One of my favorite things for the oh yeah degrees is like, you know, oh yeah, I have a test tomorrow. Oh yeah, I have a paper due. You know, I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah, I remember that feeling.
Yeah, so everybody, like, there's a lot of cool people with the oh yeah degrees. But one thing he did say that was very interesting is like, there's different types of college graduates. The people that didn't fit in. The people that thought they would be cool but weren't as cool as they were. And the people that are just cool and they fit in into everything. You know?
And where did you fall into?
I fell into... I came into college thinking I could do more things I could do since high school. Because high school, I didn't do much. But I kind of realized that it's like maybe everybody wasn't up to par to what I expected. Because that's how we became friends, because we were able to have focused conversations of things while giving each other opinions without being offended. You know, and that's the kind of the problems I had in college. People were too offended by my opinions. I still remember that one opinion I had about Justin Timberlake's 2020
experience. I knew you were going to bring that up.
Because it was visually, I could see everybody kind of like, oh, okay. Like, the song Suits and Ties is a hit. It's a hit single.
It is.
But compared to, I did not like the song at all.
Compared to the other tracks on part one.
Yes, and the whole album is good, but the song is terrible. That's what I was telling everybody. The album's amazing, right. But that one song, I wouldn't put it there. It worked.
That's the exact same feeling I have with Good Kid, M.A.A.D City and Swimming Pools.
Yeah.
Because it's one of Kendrick's biggest tracks, but I hate that song so much because Kendrick just has so many better songs on that album. And now, as you see his career progress, there's 10 times better songs in Swimming Pools. And it goes the same with Justin Timberlake and Suit and Tie.
Yeah. So that was something I realized. I was trying to connect to his commencement speech, trying to understand what was my life in college. And from there, what do I do after college? You know, because he went through a lot of things, being not wanting to be typecasted. He had to change the way he did things. So I got to kind of do the things like, I don't want certain jobs because I'm doing certain things. You know, I do want to do the job I want to do.
Of course.
So it's something I have to look into, something I have to kind of build myself on, but it's pretty interesting.
I felt like after I graduated, right after I left, and I went over to the Bronx. I went over to City Island to Sammy's. Mike, intern Mike is here. I remember sitting by myself. But I remember sitting by myself, and I instantly thought to myself, like, "Yo, I really graduated." And then afterwards, I realized that I wouldn't see some of the same people that I've seen every day because people are moving on with their lives. Everyone's getting like married and people were moving. And I remember trying so hard not to cry because it was really like the end of something that I really liked college because I wasn't that popular in middle school and high school. And then when I got to college, I sort of became the popular ones. Remember that Tyler bar? He's like, hated the popular ones. Now I'm the popular ones.
Yeah.
That's how I truly felt. That was me. Because everyone was just weirdos that I connected with.
They all gravitated to you.
Yeah. And then right after, did this whole WBAI thing. And then look at us now. You know what I mean?
Out here
with this. And I have a CT major, communications technology, with an interest in video production. So basically, I can film. I can do TV production. But I decided to do radio. It's just different.
It's still production at the end of the day.
It is production, but it's no film production involved.
Yeah.
Or there's nothing. There's no cameras in the background. There's no triangle lighting.
Or are you interested, like directing or editing? Like if you're able to get a certain job, what would it be?
Honestly, I always just wanted to learn everything within film, and I wanted to know why we did the things that they did. And so I just wanted to be well versatile with everything. So with shooting, with lighting, being in front of the camera, I just wanted to do that. And plus, I just watched too many films.
Yeah.
So might as well just find something to do with that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Kind of. But I do understand what you mean. You want to do everything until you find your exact purpose.
Yeah, because I can do everything. I think that's what helps you out when it comes to entertainment, is being versatile with knowing how to do a lot of things. Because if you can only do one thing, you're only just stuck in that one place. But if you are versatile with certain stuff like editing and filming and lighting, and can you just wrap up a cord, that goes a long way.
Yeah, it's all about building resume space.
Yeah, pretty much.
So always work on your resume like every 6 months.
And so now your summer plans,
you should tell the people what you have coming up.
Well, people, I won't be here for 2 episodes in July because I'm going to Italy for just for a week, but it's more like a Tuesday to Tuesday, so I won't be able to make it on the Wednesdays.
So when you come back, will it be a Wednesday?
Yes.
Will it be a Wednesday here, or will it be a Wednesday over there in Italy?
I have to look it over because there's a 6-hour time difference.
6 hours ahead.
6 hours ahead. Okay. Yeah, they're 6 hours ahead. So I have to look into that.
So technically over there, it's practically 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Ah.
So I'll be able to listen to the show.
At 11 o'clock.
With the sun all out, shining at 11 o'clock. While everybody here is still sleeping.
Well, I mean, technically, the sun is coming up now.
Yeah, slowly.
Slowly. That's what I like about summertime.
Summertime. Yes.
I was going to play Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince for Song of the Week, but I figured that was too typical to do.
You could do that the week after next week.
Okay. Oh, yeah, next week is your pick. Yes. Man, can you play Tupac next week?
No, you can't tell me what to play.
I mean, but it's his birthday week.
You can't tell me what to play. You can play Tupac the week after my week.
Fine. Fair enough.
Gemini season.
Are we mad at Roseanne or no?
Of course. Well,
I'm really not, though. Hold on. Mike want to say something. Hold on. What up, Mike? Say something, bro.
You can't really get mad because you can't get mad for something that you already expect to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, she supports that Cheeto man. Like, so you know she's not normal. You know, like, it's something wrong with her. You know, after that national anthem, I was like, yeah, something wrong with her. You know what I'm saying? Roseanne, I couldn't trust her. I was like, why is she on air?
Were you guys a fan of Roseanne's show back in the day?
No, I've never watched the full episode. Mm. But I did know all the actors in there.
Yeah.
Because all those same actors, well, I see most of those actors again, like CBS shows and stuff.
Yeah, he on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, both of them.
Mark is on, wasn't it? Mark, yeah, he's on Big Bang Theory.
Yep.
And then Darlene, she got her own talk show.
The daughter was also in Big Bang Theory for the first
few seasons.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so.
And she has a talk show. That's where I know her from.
Yeah.
It was just interesting seeing her as a youth.
Sarah Gilbert. She was in a movie with Usher that came out like 20 years ago. I forgot the name
of it. Yo, please do not bring that up.
Why do you remember this?
What?
I'm a media guy. I got to remember stuff like that.
That is wild.
That's the terrible movie.
You know what I'm talking about.
I have a war flashback. That movie is terrible.
Yo, you remember that other Usher movie, In the Mix?
Oh, my goodness.
That movie's terrible, too. What, it was like him protecting someone's daughter or something?
Yeah, and he was like a DJ, and the daughter was the... Her father was like this mafia guy.
Yeah,
he was from Bronx Tale. He was Sonny in a Bronx Tale.
See, I would like to be in a room where people are like pitching ideas for Usher. Say, like, hey, would you like to be in this movie? And it's like, nah. You know, this is like Confessions, Usher, right?
Yes.
This is like the height of his career.
Yes,
you have to do movie
at least 2005.
Like someone told him, you have to do a movie
about getting an Italian.
No, girl. Someone told him you have to do a movie. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we could expect an Uncle Drew movie. But, like,
right.
You know,
right.
Telling Usher to do a movie.
Oh, Kevin Hart was in that movie. I remember that, too. That was, like, his little hype man.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Kevin Hart was in, like, every movie.
Kevin Hart was in the Lean Back video.
Yes, he was a security guard, whatever that was.
But, yeah, I'm with Mike on this. If we know how Roseanne is already, why be offended or upset if Roseanne does Roseanne things?
Yeah, I don't...
Well, I think it's just because social media took control of it very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, social media took it over. If there was no social media, her show would still be on the air.
Yeah. And also, we wouldn't know her perspective.
Yeah, nobody would care. Like, everybody would be like, oh, Roseanne. Yeah, so, like, she supports Donald Trump. She's a Republican. Not all Republicans are bad, but she's, like, a Republican.
She's a racist Republican.
She's a racist Republican.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's already red flags already, so... I'm not shocked. I knew she was going to slip up. You know what I'm saying?
How did you call this, Mike?
I knew she was going to slip up because I don't know. For some reason, these Republicans on social media, they just be hitting themselves in the face.
Taking the Ambien,
they just be
right?
Hitting themselves in the face.
Taking the Ambien, right?
Yeah. They're real Twitter fingers.
Oh, yeah.
They're real Twitter fingers.
Oh, well, we're going to get into that later. But I find it really awkward how the conservative right really wanted to stand with Roseanne on, like, free speech, but they can't even come up with, like, a proper, like, gun reformation. in like school shootings and stuff. So you're willing to stand for Roseanne, but you're not willing to stand to protect your kids in school. That's wild. Yes, Michael?
That and also they canceled the Blackish episode with the kneeling.
Oh,
when they
yeah.
had the kneeling with episode the, on yeah, Blackish, they canceled Blackish. That. Nobody said nothing about that. But Roseanne, oh my goodness, get Roseanne back on the air. Like we need that.
Like, so it's like, where does ABC have their like their eyes on?
The only reason why they got canceled because of the backlash. If they ain't get no backlash, that show would still be on the air.
I have a problem with Roseanne because those writers on their show are actually like good people. Like Whitney Cummings is like one of the head writers and Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes, absolutely.
And it was like, once I found they're both on cast, I was like, all right, this could be a good show. I mean, these are excellent comedians and writers. But it's on Roseanne. It's like, why are they on Roseanne? Because the money must have been good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You also got to
think about the network, man. Yeah.
You also got to think the syndication that Roseanne had. Roseanne was on syndication on like 7 channels.
Yeah.
So like, and Roseanne was on the air for 10 years.
I watched Roseanne at Nick at Night.
During its original run. So it's just like, it's a fan base.
Well, this is the funny part.
What's that?
It's like, this tweet ruined everybody's money.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. It ruined everybody's money to the point where it's like, even the writers and the actors were like, we could do a sequel without Roseanne. I think
that's not gonna work.
Do you think that's gonna be a vastly different show politically?
Vastly different show politically. They could probably go straight to the left on that show. People may want it, may not want it.
I don't think Roseanne fans would want that.
Yeah, it's
who
not.
Who cares
it's not
about the
work.
Fans?
They got to. Sorry, they got to do like a whole entire another show. It's like if they try to bring back Martin. Not comparing the Martin situation.
I thought they were going to bring back Martin.
They probably gonna do something totally different because Tommy's not here no more. So it wouldn't be the same anymore. You know what I'm saying? So,
the way I look at it, almost like that, it won't be the same anymore. But they will have to kind of start from scratch. Same characters, but start from scratch.
What would you call it? Like
no, just like it will follow the daughter. I don't know her name. Do you know the
Darlene?
Darlene. So it will follow Darlene's life instead. You know, what's the father's name?
I just know him as John Goodman.
John Goodman.
John Goodman.
My favorite joke on Twitter was like, oh, because John Goodman's on Roseanne, it's taking him away from all these excellent roles.
I've seen that.
On movies.
I've seen that.
It's like, yo, cancel Roseanne so he could go back in the movie. Because they love him in the movies.
John Goodman is OG. He started his career here at WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh, yeah. Come through.
Come through. Word, we should get
For
John
free.
Goodman on.
For free.
For free? Yeah, I think so. Well, anyways, man, this is the 30-minute mark, and it's my pick for Song of the Week, and Bastion wanted to be stingy, so, you know, I decided to go with the artist we haven't played yet, and I'm shocked we haven't played any Kid Cudi yet, and this was off of his last project, and this is featuring Andre Benjamin, also known as Andre 3000, also known as 3Stacks, and this is the track By Design, which is one of the better tracks on that album, which is like an hour and 45 minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank y'all for listening. 99.5 FM, WBAI, Black Seinfeld. We'll be right back.
Born from dusk to dawn, I'm truly alive. The satellite sits in frame to illuminate this shaded place. Here's a rose that won't be long. The music demands you take the lead. Come on, win it. Mm-hmm. Come on. Moments don't pass me up, no, no. Cause I seize them in stride. Till the wind that never gave me in. I met one internally. Have faith in the choices you. It's all by design. Go with it. Come on, don't put the funk sway. I see everything with new beams. I do dream. My eyes are glowing, mood rings, you're boring. Stop dueling with the true thing. I do think when you think too much, you're removing what's moving. Stuck in
inside a statue, look at you. Go ahead and pogo, something will catch you. A petty logo shed on my tattoos. I read all the bad news, it says I'm too careful. Never steered me wrong, the universe never lied. Take me bound to the calm me down, the fantasy and this remedy, free from where you don't belong. In the concept of time, new levels. Come on, moments don't pass me up, no, no, cause I seize them in stride. Till the wind never gave me in, I met one internally, have faith in the choices you've made. It's all by design. Go with it. Come on, don't feng shui. Some twisted and emotional notions. Oh yeah. I savor your love. Don't rip the feng shui. I see everything with new beams. I do dream. My eyes are glowing. Mood rings. You're boring. Stop dueling with the true thing. I do think when you think too much, you're removing what's moving. Stuck inside a statue. Look at you. Go ahead and pogo, something will catch you. A petty logo shed on my tattoos. I read all the bad news, it says I'm too careful.
Feeling being tested every minute. Feel like yesterday I was blind to being lost. Seems I stumbled on a path, no coincidence. Truly in my essence, I've arrived.
You're removing what's moving. Stuck inside a statue, look at you. Go ahead and pogo, something will catch you. A petty logo shed on my tattoos. I read all the bad news, it says I'm too careful.
Tap into the frequency line.
And that was By Design, Kid Cudi featuring Andre Benjamin, a.k.a. Andre 3000, a.k.a. Three Stacks.
And speaking of Kid Cudi and Kanye are dropping collab album this Thursday. Well, it'll be Friday.
I think I'm going to stick to that Georgia Smith debut.
Georgia Smith?
Georgia Smith is coming out with an album that day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'll look into that one, too.
Because I love me some Georgia Smith, man.
Did she make good music? I never listened to anything she created.
She has great songs. I'm not going to lie. She does have great songs. She has a great storytelling capability. One of my favorite tracks from her right now is Blue Lights, which talks about the police brutality that also goes on in the UK.
Okay.
Which is interesting to listen to because we just think of police brutality as a black American thing. But it's interesting to see that police brutality is it's worldwide. It's actually also in Europe.
Definitely. So welcome to Black Seinfeld.
Sure about nothing.
So let's get into a continuation we did from last week.
Yep.
Which is the beef between King Push and Six God Drake.
Okay, so we spent an hour on this last week, and now we have some reports to all you people that rely on us, oddly enough, to tell you about this. But the beef is now over, and the reason why it is over is because an OG by the name of Jay Prince made a call to Drake, and he told Drake to end it. And Drake gave him his word that he will not respond to the story of Adidon or Adidon, however you want to call it. Also, Kanye went to Twitter and he tweeted out that the beef between Pusha T and Drake is done because Ye has never been about beef, which is true. you never seen Kanye in a real rap beef. And he's always about to love and peace and respect. And he likes Drake. So, yeah. I think the nail in the coffin was the call from J. Prince to Drake. And for those of you who do not know, J. Prince is the guy who discovered Drake, right? Houston legend. And he's the guy who discovered Drake, and he introduced him to Lil Wayne. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the story. According to J. Prince, he's heard Drake played him the response that he would have had to Pusha T. And from J. Prince's perspective, the dirt that he had on Pusha T and Kanye would have ended their careers. But I think it's all BS because I don't like hearing it from the other person. I'd like just play the record for the people, for the youth, and have us decide, okay? But J. Prince is respected within the industry. So, one, why would he be lying? But in my perspective, I think J. Prince is lying because he wants to save his investment within Drake. Does anybody want to respond?
I don't know if it's that deep.
I think it's deep.
It ain't that deep.
It's deeper than rap. Like it's I said last week, facts, it's deeper facts, than facts. Rap.
Not agree. I don't think Drake has a record. In my opinion, I don't think he has a record. Because if he had a record, he would have released it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Drake is Drake. J. Prince is a legend. Rap a lot, records, you know, Scarface, Ghetto Boys, and all that. But Drake's a grown man. And Pusha T violated him. You know what I'm saying? With people making memes, instead of saying Brenda's got a baby, people saying Aubrey's got a baby on social media.
Oh, no.
So it's just like, he violated. You got to go back at him. You got to do it for the sport. It's like, it ain't no street stuff. It's just for the sport of hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? You have to go at him.
First thing first, all rap beef is whack, all right?
A lot of people disagreed with you, too, by the way.
No, but I would like to say, I don't think there is a diss record either. You know, yeah. I think he would have dropped it by now. And seriously, I don't really care anymore because of how social media took over it. It's like once you got the rap fans in it, then you got the Drake fans who aren't rap fans.
No, Drake stans.
Drake stans who aren't rap fans, by the way.
That's a good point.
Then you got like weird like CNN and like other articles from like New York Times writing about it. That's when it gets boring.
Yeah, because Drake to me is the first ever. Well, not even the first ever. He's one of a real global rap superstar.
Yeah.
Think about it. He wants to be a rude boy one day, then he wants to be a London bloke the next day, and he takes.
Shout out to Skepta.
He takes different styles and he incorporates it with his music.
Yeah.
And because of this, and you know why? You know what? You know what I'm mad about? Drake always wants to be this tough guy. A lot of the times, he wants to have track records like Worst Behavior and all that. But I want to say this now on behalf of the Caribbean community. Drake, you can't be a rude boy anymore. You can't be a shata. You can't portray yourself as a bad boy, rude boy, top gunner. You can't do that anymore, okay? I don't want to hear you go on the gullies. I don't want to hear you talk about being with the Gaza. You can't chill out with popcorn anymore. None of that, Drake. I don't want to hear that anymore, all right? After you took this L, you can't be a rude boy anymore because that's not what Badman does. That's not a Badman thing, Drake. No more. I just want to stick to you doing your little beige ballads. Stick to your
beige ballads.
Wow. That's what I want you to keep doing, Drake.
Wow.
Stop it.
Wow.
In my personal opinion, only way Drake can like come back from this from the social media, he got to go at the whole entire good music. He has to go at Designer, Big Sean, Teyana Taylor.
Why?
Tupac did it and hit him up.
True.
No, so
you gotta say
he went at Bad Boy as a staff record label and as a mother effing crew.
Yeah, Good Music as a staff label and as
But his beef isn't with Good Music, his beef is with Pusha.
Yeah, but Pusha's on Good Music, right?
True. Pusha got beef with Drake.
Yeah, no one.
That's the difference. Because Tupac felt like Bad Boy set him up.
But 50, he went at all of those people for no reason. Like, 50's he went at
different.
Jada.
Don't compare 50 to anybody.
Yeah, this is,
come
on, man.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, for us, if Drake that's wants to come back from this, you got to go at all of it.
That's so, what I mean. We don't need it. That's what I'm saying. Like, in this day and age, we don't need the extra nonsense. It's all clown. This is like, you're just fooling everybody at the end of this. Right. It looked cool in the 90s, but like, we look back at the 90s, and it was a mess. People are dead.
Yeah.
Those guys are dead.
Yep.
Those guys are dead at 20, what is 25?
24.
Those guys are our age. Mm-hmm. Those guys are dead, all right?
Yep.
So I don't even talk about them. Yep. You want to talk about it now? Like, do you really want to see Pusha T and Drake fight? The fans going to fight?
No. I don't think it's going
to
escalate.
I don't think
it's going to
escalate. I'm just talking about
them. I'm talking about the surface.
Oh, you talking about like
East Coast,
Entourage?
West Coast and those losers?
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen anymore.
It's over. That stuff is over. Think about it. And plus, East Coast, West Coast isn't going to happen. Because think about what? We're going to have Canada versus Virginia?
No. But the same energy with the fans. The fans are the crazy ones. Because once you're in a group of people, right, you're going to act different. If you're by yourself.
Drake fans aren't gangsters.
Nah, but if you're in a group of people, they're different people. They're not gangsters by themselves. But if you have a crowd of like 50 of them, mm-hmm. they're chanting or something, it could be record. Like anything could happen.
So you think a Drake stan will roll up at Pusha T's house like they did with Joe Budden?
Yeah. Yo. That happened.
I mean, it did happen.
That happened. That's messed up. That's like, no, at the end, that was funny for a second. Then you really look at it. It's like you can't go to somebody's house and do that.
You're right. Mm-hmm. I just want it in terms of the sport, like Pusha T hit some jabs with him.
And that wasn't a jab. That was a haymaker.
He hit him with a two-piece with a biscuit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And Drake, and I just want Drake to come back.
I wish it could have been a sport, but it couldn't. Because of today. That's the only reason.
But Pusha T is 40 years old, and Drake is 30 years old. They too old to be doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you see these younger rappers, like, the 6ix9ine versus Chicago, that's different.
That's not even real. That's like, I feel like that's a whole publicity
stuff. Even Lil Durk like laughed at it. He was like, I'm not taking that dude serious.
But I think what got people invested within this beef in particular is because of course, Drake being arguably number one right now, and Pusha T, who is one of Drake's favorite artists ever, too. I think that's what made people interested with this rap beef. Also, this goes down in like hip hop history where like Drake actually like takes an L.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Drake is a concept. Drake is an idea. Drake portrays himself as the nice guy, right? I think we can all agree on that.
You can tell by his Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Even with his rap beefs, like with Common and Meek, he knows how to use the internet against his opponent, and he knows how to make records where it could be Grammy award winning or Grammy nominated, and it's a diss record. So he knows how to play that game. And what Pusha did was he questioned Drake's integrity, involving, you know, the women in his life and his family and the blackface, which was all like really good. And I think that's one of the reasons why we will not get a Drake response, is because Pusha messed with Drake's money. I think that's the biggest reason, because Drake is always calculated. And, you know, according to sources, the whole rollout and reveal of Drake's son was going to be with that whole Adidas collaboration as well. And he was supposed to have a track dedicated to his son in the Scorpion album. I don't know if that's still going to happen or not, but since Push, you know, immediately like just killed all that buzz, it does mess with Drake's money.
I thought Scorpio was supposed to come in like June.
Yeah, it's coming out. Yeah, it's coming out this month, like last week.
You think they're going to scrap the album and do a Lil Wayne and start from scratch?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think if this beef is truly over, then fine.
They have, like, those rappers have enough talent to write a new album.
Yeah, Drake is a concept. Drake has how many writers with him all the time?
Yeah.
But if Drake wants to reignite this feud, which I don't think he will, I think he has to go the Get Rich or Die Trying route and have at least like 5 diss tracks on wax.
That's what I was saying earlier. Like, if he really wants to, if he really like wants to really win this, and like not care about like the money and all that. If he really wants to win this, he has to do that. But
this is his teach. This is like one of his idols, Pusha T. Yeah. And he knows how Pusha is on the mic. So I mean, he even bought a He bought a Clips mic that they signed.
Yeah, I think I said that. I think I said that last week. Right. When, Drake was like, Pusha T is like his idol, his favorite rapper.
Right. So I don't think when it comes to lyricists like Budden or like Pusha T, I don't think Drake wants any smoke at all.
Agreed.
Because think about it. Search the story of Adidon at the end of the track, as we listened to last week, said, this is volume one. That was only volume one. Imagine if Drake responded, which is what I wanted it for selfish reasons, because I really wanted to know what volume two would have been. Is he going to talk about how he sent out the Jamaican goons to go scare Jahani Blaze? Like, you know what I mean? That's because that's a real thing. He did that, by the way.
Yeah. He did do that.
I don't really want.
Is he gonna reveal that Drake steals records from like Dram, the Cha Cha record, and made it one and made it Hotline Bling? Is he gonna do that? I don't know.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Drake. See, Drake has a lot of money and Drake has a lot of power where he can sweep his scandals under the rug. So having someone like Pusha who has a lot of smoke. And who wants all the smoke can easily like bring that up again. Yeah, he wants all of the curses.
He has nothing to lose. Pusha really has nothing to lose in this situation.
I mean, that's what I felt like.
Drake has everything to lose, and I
don't think there's nothing to lose. I think it's just all just talk and
but like
all ego talk.
Like Giovanni stated earlier in the lyrical war, Pusha T got him. It's no doubt about that.
He will always win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like so, like Pusha T really has nothing to lose. Like no one's expecting Pusha T to sell 350,000 in the first week.
Nah, he sold 77.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, compared to Drake.
Drake, who's probably sell
500,000.
I think he's going to sell.
He could sell a million.
I think he's going to sell more.
Yeah.
Because of the beef?
Because of the beef.
That's fair.
Also, because the fans will actually go out and really support.
Yeah. And I also think that Pusha T beat Drake at his own game, like how you stated earlier with the social media thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, Drake, that's what Drake does.
I think you need that in today's era.
He beat him at his own game.
In rap beef. You need some of those OMG moments that can be trending on Twitter. Because I think if Pusha was just to bar Drake to death, a lot of people wouldn't care. I mean, I would care. I know you would care. I know Bastion would care. But social media really wouldn't. And I think that's a hard gripe to swallow. Because Drake fans, like you said, aren't necessarily rap fans.
Yeah.
They're just Drake fans because Drake caters to so many different people.
He's only focused on the culture and the now. He's not focused on the whole.
Right.
Social media is the medium.
Yeah.
Like earlier, like before it was the tracks. You know, you had to listen to the station at a certain time to hear it. Now the track is secondary to social media. Like once the track drops, all the memes drop and all like the joking videos drop. And then that's what like defamates the actual artist with that. So I feel like social media is the medium, and if you got social media on your side, you win.
Let me ask you a question. Stop. Does the aftermath of the Pusha T Drake feud really interest you to listen to what Scorpion has to offer? Because I'll be honest with you, Drake albums have been on a decline, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Drake,
what's the last good Drake album for you? Personally,
honestly, Take Care.
Views from the Six.
Views from the Six.
You actually like Views?
Yeah, I like Views from the Six.
I didn't like Views, and I'll tell you why. That was right after the Meek beef.
Yeah, I like so, Views from the Six.
My favorite one was If You're Reading This, It's Was Too Late. That was my last favorite.
Oh, yeah, How About Now? I love
because that whole album, the way it came out, it was a mixtape. They took it off. They put it on iTunes, and I bought it the same day.
I was just going to say, it's not even an album. It's a mixtape.
But it was good. It was fire. Every track.
Yeah, I agree. Know,
after the next, it was fire. It was heat, right?
That's so why I didn't mention that because it was a mixtape.
It made me a Drake fan again because I'm a mixtape Drake fan. Then the first album was whack. Second album was overproduced, in my opinion. Third album, kind of nothing was the same. Kind of brought me back in. That album, like, all right, I'm a Drake fan again.
We didn't like nothing. What the same? Nothing was. The
I
same did. Though.
I was the only one defending it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was the only one defending.
That's right.
I love How About Now. I love that song.
Because I'm up
that's
right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm not too sure what's going to happen with his like with that album.
I think it's going to be
Drake's career is fine.
Yeah, Drake's career is fine
because none of this really because like social media moves so fast, we're going to forget about it next month.
I mean, it happened with Ye, which I guess we have to talk about next week.
Which is fine, because I'll talk about it with Kid Cudi's album.
Okay, that's fair. And I'll talk about Georgia Smith.
Yes.
The counter is always success. Once you get success, they're going to forget about all that other stuff. All you got to do is come with some three. Obviously, he's going to have a hit for the summer. He always has a hit every summer for like the past 9 years.
Yeah.
So he's going to have that, and people are going to play it in the clubs, and people are going to forget.
Yeah.
And he's going to have an album that's going to go platinum, and people are going to forget. So all he needs to do is have success. Once he has success, people are going to be like, Pusha T? Like, people just going to say, oh, Pusha T from the clips.
The only reason that, like, I know Drake will be successful is because the old heads that support Pusha T and the fans that support Pusha T didn't buy the album. You understand? He sold 77K.
I'm sure it now has it's risen because of the rap beef, though.
No, the rap beef was part of the same week. No, but it's a Friday to Friday.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember, absolutely. Now it's a Thursday night. It's still a Friday to Friday. And right?
Fair enough.
And Pusha T is actually spitting on that album.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best.
Bar for 21 minutes, just yeah, straight.
One bars. Of the best bars he says, Papa Willie like Meek Millie tell the judge, the Akinelli. That's one of the best bars.
Put it in your mouth.
That's one of the best bars ever, like, when I think about it. Like, and in today's rap music, the younger generation just doesn't want to listen to that. It was a good album.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was a story.
But it's like, who purchases the album?
Exactly.
That's kind of the, maybe yeah. we'll I talk mean, about yeah, that in a later like episode. $5. Yeah. No, yeah, the album was like $7.
And plus, I already got the digital download because I bought my If You Know, You Know shirt.
Oh, it came together with it.
Absolutely.
Which is something that even Ye did with the new album. He
Black
was selling,
Panther did as well.
He was there selling the gear and will come with the album. Yeah. So like it kind of forces the person like, here, get the CD, you know.
Or just get the digital download,
which is much simpler
and
now.
And of course, vinyl is always making that strong comeback now, so a lot of people are getting the vinyl version as well.
Yeah, which is great too. Always have in your collection. Get a vinyl player. Don't buy a Crosley.
Oh yeah, that was over at Urban Outfitters, right?
Yeah, don't buy a Crosley. That's the worst one. All right.
Where was the last one we saw?
Audio Technica, that's a good one.
Okay. Alright. We have anything to say? Because we gotta wrap up. Last statements.
We'll be back next week.
Thank y'all for tuning into Black Seinfeld.
And Sebastian, welcome to the graduation game.
Dang!
Thank you
very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.